Let's give it up one more time for our Rush. Amazing job, guys.
They did a great job.
Tremendous. All right, so Pastor Richard and I are going to be preaching just a really short message to you guys today before we dismiss. You doing all right, bud?
Champ, I like your sweater.
I know. I bought you that one, I think.
Yeah, I think you did. Where'd you get it, Amazon?
No, champ. No, champ.
You went to the Christmas store.
Exactly. Gatlinburg Christmas store.
Come on,
no, I'm just kidding. I bought it at Kohl's.
You like this one, Baker's Elf is like your favorite movie.
It is. I love it. We watch it every Thanksgiving night, Elf. That's our first one we watch.
I think we need to watch. We hadn't watched it this yet, so we got to watch it now. We have been singing the Grinch actually a lot, though. So I got this new little parenting tip.
Go.
So our family, we love the song The Grinch.
Right.
And so I told my son, if he ever gets bullied, just start singing that song to the bully, and then he'd run away.
That doesn't make any sense, but I like it. I mean, why would he sing the
He's six. He thought it made sense.
Oh, I guess so. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch?
Yeah, or start rapping it to him.
Exactly. Well, guys, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, but before we jump in, I just want you to get on your calendar our Christmas Eve service, 6 p.m., December the 24th. We're going to be having a Christmas Eve service. All of our children are going to be in here, so we're going to have a short service, probably no longer than 45 minutes. We're going to have a candlelit service. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you join us for that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you," now those three words are important for us this morning, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." You know, every Christmas season, Pastor Richard, I tell my favorite Christmas story of when I was little. You know, when I was probably about, I think I was 8, and my little brother was about 6 years old. Now, if there's any kids in the room, don't worry, I'm not going to ruin anything. But my little brother, Jake, at 6 years old, he was wondering, is the man in the big red suit, is he real? Uh-oh. Now, that year, my mom had assigned to my dad to buy all of the Christmas presents. And so my dad began to shop. It must have been at the beginning of the year, because on Christmas morning, when we woke up, we probably around 5 a.m., we came in, and I have a picture of what I got to see. There I am. Look at those games. I mean, that game that's standing in front of me, that is the NFL electric board game. You might remember this.
You got a pound puppy.
Champ, a pound puppy. Yeah, that's awesome. A pound puppy, yeah.
I always wanted a pound puppy.
But that NFL
You had game. The Christmas I always wanted.
Champ. That electric board game, you remember that game? It used to vibrate, and the men would move based on the vibration. It was an awful game, but
you remember the Christmas wish book? I don't know if y'all, I'm getting old now, but we had the Sears and the JCPenney wish book and had all the toys before Amazon, and we would go through and circle all the
what
toys
you want.
And I wanted all that stuff.
That, you see that monster doll to the left of me? To the left, yeah, left. That's it. That blue doll. I looked that up online. eBay, that's $150 now.
Wow.
$150. Yeah, I had a doll when I grew up. That's kind of, that's weird. But
so explains a lot right now, though.
Exactly. But this is not, you can see all those presents, but this is doesn't even, I mean, it was from one room to the other when we walked in. And my brother, when he saw that, he took off running as fast as he could to Mom and Dad's room, jumped in their bed. He said, "Mommy and Daddy, I know Santa is real because there is no way you could afford all of that." I mean, for him, I mean, it was it. It was real. But Pastor Richard, for real, what about the Christmas season causes generosity like that? I mean, my dad, he was so generous that Christmas season. What does Christmas do to us to make us buy things people don't need, stand in long lines, all that crazy stuff?
Why do we do that?
Well,
ultimately, Christmas is all about Jesus. Everybody say amen. But Christmas is about the fact that we needed a gift. Yeah. And a gift was given. And it was a gift that was given. It was so unlikely. It was so unlikely, not that Jesus would come, but he would come in the way that he did. Like, all of us love to watch children. And like, if you were watching the singing and all that kind of stuff, we love watching kids sing little songs. They're so cute. Everybody say, aw, right? And the younger they are, the cute factor goes up. Right? And the smaller they are, the babies. Everybody loves babies. And it's like the gift of a baby is so amazing. I mean, there's not enough money you could pay to just hold an innocent little baby. And the fact that Jesus Christ came as a baby was so unlikely. It was so out of the ordinary. Everybody thought in that day and time that we're going to have a savior. He's going to be a gladiator. He's going to be a warrior. He's going to be a barbarian. He's going to come and kick down the Roman Empire. But no, just a baby. Yeah. And really, when you think about it, the gift of a baby was really God's generosity lavished on us. We don't use that word too much. So that word lavish, it means rich. It means extravagant. It means luxurious. You know, as I think about it, you know, Pastor Lance, what is the most lavish gift that you've ever received?
See, I only have to think twice. Okay. 10 years old, I lavished an authentic Atlanta Braves jersey.
Uh-oh.
I'll never forget. I wanted this jersey.
That's the most lavish gift you've ever received.
Damn, don't get me in trouble now. Hold on.
No, keep going. No, you keep going.
Yes, that Braves jersey. I never forget. I asked him, Mom and Dad, I want this authentic. That's back in the Dale Murphy days, Bob Horner. Y'all probably don't remember those guys. But man, I wanted this authentic Braves jersey. My parents set me up. I opened up all my the gifts, and none of them was the Braves jersey. So I, 10 years old, I had a bad attitude. I got mad. My mom and dad sent me to my room on Christmas morning.
Wow. So, you got to be really bad to go to Christmas on your room on Christmas.
That was me, bro. I'm in my room on Christmas morning, but thank God my parents were generous. They had Jesus in their heart. Even in my sin and disobedience, wow, my parents still came into my room and gave me the gift that I wanted. They said, Lance, we were simply waiting till the end. Wow. And I felt awful. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Thank you for this gift. But to see the generosity really stirred something inside of me.
So what's amazing about that is you, in the height of your disobedience,
in your
wretched 10-year-old body, the sin consumed you. You lashed out on your parents. They sent you to the room. And now this is the cool thing. This is really a lot like the gospel.
It is the gospel.
Like in the midst of your sin, really, your parents came to you and gave you a gift that you didn't deserve, right. You didn't earn, you didn't even know if you were ever really going to get it, and then they gave it to you. And this is the thing that's really cool, is you received the gift you actually needed, wanted, yeah, and because you received the gift, your heart began to soften.
Right.
And as your heart began to soften, it changed the way you respond to your parents,
right,
didn't it?
Yeah. I would do anything for them. Like, I was like, Mom and Dad, what do you want me to do? I'll clean dishes. I'll do this. I'll do that. Because my heart was changed because of their generosity.
So in the beginning, you gave your worst. And after the gift was given, you gave your best.
That's the gospel right there, bro.
Wow. That's amazing. You went from being a hellion to an angel.
Woo! Praise Jesus.
Because the gift was given.
What about you, Chad? What's your most lavish gift you've ever received?
This is a little bit different than a Braves jersey. It was Braves, right? Yeah. My most lavish gift that God has ever given me is my wife.
Hold on, Chad. You're making me look real bad now.
Say,
hold on. Check this. I said a Braves jersey.
That is not a Braves jersey. Braves
jerseys.
You have
jerseys, a picture of your gift. I don't even have a picture of mine.
Braves jerseys get stinky, they get nasty, and they get thrown away.
Oh, Lord.
That just gets better.
Thank God my wife's not in here.
I know. It gets better with time with my wife, right? So
and you still have her, champ. I don't even have my jersey anymore.
Praise God.
Praise Jesus.
That's the grace of God, obviously.
Why is that, champ?
Champ, it's, you know, when I say that she's the most lavish gift that God has ever given me, it's because I was completely undeserving. Yeah. It's like you know, y'all might know me as Pastor Richard, but I wasn't born Pastor Richard. No. I was born like you was. I was a little hellion of a child, and I grew up, and I did things the exact wrong way. I lived wild, and everybody that knows what I mean when I say wild, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, and I lived a wild life, and so when I gave my life to Christ, I did not expect to have a wife like the one that I have. And when I received her as my wife and when God gave her to me as my wife, not only did the gift of salvation change my heart, but her coming into my life, it softened my heart. It made me a better person. It made me a more generous person, a less cynical person. And it's like as God gave me that gift, it created a generosity in me. It gave me really a life to honor God.
Because you felt like there's no way I should receive or be able to receive this precious gift, righteous gift.
Yeah.
And see, that changes. I'm telling you, number one, it's a great marriage tip to begin to view your spouse as a gift from God, because that's what they really are. None of us deserve the person that we are with, the person that we are married to. They are a gift from your Heavenly Father. And that gift, really, you should see that as generosity. God, you allowed me to be with her. God, you allowed me to be with him. Man, you're talking about changing a marriage. If we begin to see our spouse like that, it will change the way we treat one another, the way we respond to one another, what we do and don't do for one another. I'm telling you, it will change you. And so that generosity you see in that basically generated greater generosity in you.
That's exactly right. When a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And now when I look at my family and I look at how much of a blessing it is, not only to me, but how it's really caused our family to be a blessing to others, it's amazing how God does that through one gift. It sparks that in the life of somebody.
Let's give God a big hand clap for that. That is too strong.
But your Braves jersey, that was nice, though.
Yeah, it was all right. Thank you. I'm not telling that story anymore. I'm choosing D or my kids.
Good choice.
You're a good Christmas gift too, champ. I would choose you too, brother.
Oh, shucks.
You know, here's
a little
the thing.
Weird and sweet at the same
time. Yeah, I know. It's all right. Here's the thing about generosity, understanding the generosity of this gift, is the Luke 2. This gets us to Luke 2. The Bible says, "For unto you." And when I see the word you in the Bible, I like to put my name there. Makes it personal. For unto Lance, unto Dr. Mike, for unto Joe, for unto Rick, for unto Pastor, whoever. For unto you, this gift, this Savior has been given. Now, here's the thing about this gift. For myself, I never asked for this gift. I never asked for Jesus to come, in a sense. Hey, Jesus, will you come and do this for me? He did it without even me knowing that he was going to do it. That's what's so amazing. It's an unexpected, really undeserved gift that our Father has given you and I. But it's to us. And so even though I didn't understand I needed salvation, that I needed to be made righteous, that I needed the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, because God loves you and I so much, and he knew the gift that we needed. It wasn't a gift like my jersey is going to go away. It was a gift that's going to last eternity for you and I. Jesus came as the God-man. The amazing thing about Jesus is even as a baby in a manger, this is amazing, he was still upholding all things together by the word of his power.
That's great.
This is God laying in a manger. He was God. He didn't progressively become God. He was Lord at thy birth. We sing it in a Christmas song, don't we? Here we have Jesus as the God-man lying in this manger, this unexpected, undeserved gift. Now, the thing about, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that opens up our understanding. It's called revelation. He gives us revelation knowledge. Lance, you are outside of the things of God. You're in need of a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. We have to recognize first. And once we recognize, then we can receive. And this is exactly what happened with the wise men, Pastor Richard.
That's exactly
who
right.
Came. We're not sure how many there were. You know, yeah. A lot of people say there's three because there was three gifts.
We get that all mixed up. It's like when see the nativity scene, you see all these folks are all
there. Yeah, we don't know really how many it was.
Exactly. It's like, you know, when you see the wise men, you see these, they call them magi in different translations of the Bible. They came from the east, and they were bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and God, you guys saw the movie too, huh? Right?
Hey, a great movie too. See, let me say this real quick. A great Christmas movie to watch with your family is The Star. If you've never seen The Star, it is such a great Christmas movie, and it talks a lot about what we're about to kind of
cover, good.
What we're about to see it on.
So the wise men, they came, and it's interesting that they brought these gifts, and they brought it to him because they had already received the fact of who he was going to be. Right. Does that make sense? It's like they had prepared the gifts ahead of time because they knew they were going to go meet a king. And so they had received the fact that this king has been born. And that's really what happens when we receive Christ. It's like, it's not only do we receive something, but there's also the response is giving something away. This is really how generosity works. It's the concept that we receive and then we also give away. And we see this with the wise men. They had a revelation. Their hearts were stirred in that moment, and they gave to the newborn king, or actually the new child, and they received something, but they also gave something at the exact same time. So it's because their hearts were stirred because of this Jesus. And when you encounter Jesus, you always are giving something out or giving something up. Maybe you're doing both, and at the same time, you're receiving who he is.
That's so good. You know, think about being a part of that magi or the wise men and showing up. You might think, well, we're many years from that. So what do we, as we encounter this newborn king, this Jesus, what is he expecting us? Again, I love what you just said. They knew they were coming to a king. And you don't come into the king's presence without bringing something. Even though they knew, because the prophecy was this king was going to be a child. More than likely, Jesus was probably around 2 years old when the Magi showed up. And so think about it. They knew they were coming to a king. They knew they had to bring something, but yet it was an unexpected king. Because here they are walking into a carpenter's home. Joseph was a carpenter. They were very poor. They probably thought it was going to be a little bit more elaborate than what they saw. But yet there was a revelation. As they looked at Jesus, as they encountered him, then they begin to give out of what they brought. So what about us? What do we give? When we recognize that this Jesus, that he's our king, that he's our Lord, that he's not just a savior. Yeah. Listen, I want you to know that's the thing that changed my life. The thing that changed my life about understanding who Jesus was that he is a king, that he is Lord. Because a king and a Lord demand something from me.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I always heard just come accept Jesus as your personal savior. And that sounded great. I don't want to go to hell. Lord, save me, right? But then I started to hear when I got in college about how Jesus is a king. He's Lord. See, I like to say it like this. Saving is what Jesus does, but Lord is who he is.
That's good.
And many times we try to accept him outside of who he is. I can't say, Jesus, save me, but this Lord stuff, I don't know about that. I got to keep this. I got to keep that. Jesus saying, I'm your king. You come like these magi and give everything. So what does Jesus want? He wants you. It's unexpected, I know. You would think, who wants me? Jesus does. In your sin, in whatever you're involved in, he loves and wants and desires you. Somebody say amen to that. That's good news. He desires you. Now, once we give our heart, recognize who he is, and once we give our hearts and receive, guess what? Now we begin. Because as we see the generosity of God, it generates generosity inside of us.
So
it stirs us. Why do we get, like the question I asked Pastor Richard, why do we get so stirred at Christmas? It's generosity. Mm-hmm. It's receiving this gift. Yeah. And it stirs greater generosity in all of us, especially around this season. You know, every Christmas season here at Bethel, we do something to allow you and I to be generous. We call it our Christmas offering. We've been talking about this ever since the month of since December started, about our opportunity to be generous in this Christmas season. And through this Christmas offering, we've been doing this ever since we started as a church. We find opportunities, needs, and we begin to meet those needs. We've done things in the community. We've done things around the world. But this year, as you can see on this graphic, we're focusing on our Go Kids Children's Ministry. We want to take this Go Kids Children's Ministry to another level because it is a huge blessing in our community. But we do have some breaking news for you today. This past week, Pastor Richard and I heard about a huge need that we have, I'm sorry, not that we have, but some friends of ours, pastor friends of ours, that are from the nation of Bolivia. As a church, we have 3 churches in Bolivia. Some of you guys have been part of that, part of our mission trip, have gone there. And recently, the entire month of November, they have been going through some turmoil, Pastor Rich. You can talk about that here.
And some of you guys know that basically Bolivia is in the middle of South America. We've been there as a church almost every year since we've been around. You've been there over a dozen times. I've been there about 4 or 5 times. And we have a friend named Pastor Fikri, who is a Bolivian pastor. He's been there for a lot of years. He came to the States, and he's been keeping us aware. Maybe you've seen it on the news, and maybe you hadn't, but in the nation of Bolivia, it's been unrest. There's been chaos, protests, riots in the street. The entire nation, think about if this happened in the U.S., but the entire nation was shut down for a month. The entire country, the banks were shut down, everything was shut down. The president stepped down, and there was chaos right after that as well. And as a result of, you know, of all this happened, as the banks were closed, the churches didn't meet, couldn't meet, it just wasn't safe to meet. Imagine if you didn't have a paycheck for a month, what that would do to most families in Clarksville, Tennessee. I mean, and on top of that, you've got churches that are not meeting, which means you also have pastors that are not able to take care of their families and could be getting discouraged. And so what we want to do is help meet that urgent need by helping these 3 pastors who really helped to serve the 3 churches that we help to oversee here in the States. So those 3 churches we've been through, they're in Bolivia, and we've been to all 3 of them. The pastors there helped to take care of the entire community there, not just the people of the church, but they do medical outreaches and so many other things. We want to be there to help them in their time of need. So a portion of this offering is going to go to help them.
Let me show you their picture of them real quick. So this is Edgar. This is Pastor Edgar. He's standing there to the right. There's his son, his daughters, and his Ilda is to the left. They pastor one of our churches. Here's the next one. This is Pastor Friedel and Lizbeth and their 2 children. They pastor one of our churches. And we have one more. This is Pastor Ruth in the bottom right-hand corner. That's Pastor Ruth, and she pastors one of our churches there in Bolivia. So what we want to do, our goal in this Christmas offering, is we want to receive, we're believing for $15,000, and we're going to take a percentage of this offering and give to these wonderful pastors to really help them. Again, they did not get paid, so we need to be a blessing to them. Now listen, if you've never given here at Bethel, or some here that have never given to our church or given to while you've been here, this is a great opportunity. This can be the first time that you've ever given into an offering here at this church. I'm telling you, it's going to meet a huge, huge need. We broke it down, Pastor Richard. If every family gave simply $100, we could reach our goal of $15,000. In fact, that's a little bit shorter because we had some pretty big gifts come in last week, and so it's a little bit less. But whatever you can do, listen, whatever you can do as a family will be a blessing, not only to our Go Kids Children's Ministry, but also to the nation, those pastors in Bolivia. Our worship team's going to come on up, and we're going to sing one more song before we pray and dismiss here. Our ushers are going to come. Ushers, you can come. Listen, if you're making a check, you can simply make it out to Bethel. Just simply write Bethel, write Christmas offering in the memo if you want to give cash.